as you say, Sam, you know, these are, some of them are traditional prayers, but let's be lifting our hearts up to the Lord and be focusing on Him this morning. First of all, there's a prayer thanking God that we are here, that we've reached the season. It's called the The problem is English translation of the Hebrew. It's harder to speak sometimes in the actual Hebrew when you're reading the actual Hebrew. So for me, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehechinanu v'kiyamnu v'hiyanu lazman hazeh. Amen. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season. I want to talk real quick about the Kol Nidre. We're not going to be saying the Kol Nidre this morning altogether, but I am going to be reading it and explaining something about it. The Kol Nidre is one of the most very important, in the Jewish community today, is a very important prayer. Some say it's the most important prayer. I don't necessarily agree with that. That's what the rabbis say, but I don't have a huge problem with the Kol Nidre, but some in the Messianic movement and some Christian pastors and stuff do, because it seems like in the Kol Nidre, and this is a misunderstanding of this prayer, that in Jewish circles that they are basically saying, all the vows I made last year are completely, I don't have to keep them anymore. That's not what the Kol Nidre is saying. And if you look at it, and as I read through it, you will hear what it is trying to say, I believe, and this is true, that, you know, remember what Yeshua said? He says, let your no be no, and your yes be yes. Let your low be low, and your kin be kin. And he said, you know, you shouldn't make vows, not by God, not by heaven, not by earth, not by, you know. But we still do make vows. Sometimes we make them very clearly in front of everybody. Sometimes it's just between us and God. Sometimes it's between us and other people. And the reality is, we can't keep all those vows. We just can't. We are incapable of doing that. So Kol Nidre is really a prayer that's asking God to release us from those vows that we made throughout the year that we couldn't keep, we didn't keep, and we couldn't keep. And it's asking God forgiveness for making vows that we cannot keep. And how many of you have ever made a vow or made a commitment to God? A lot of you in this room. How many have ever broke a commitment to God? How many of you are still alive this morning? That's good. My point in that is that we recognize and we understand that we make a commitment to God, and something that I just recently really came across is we make commitments to God. He already knows we can't keep them. There are some commitments that we make to God that He keeps for us. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And you know, the one that we enjoy every day as believers is one of those vows. And why do I say that? Because all of Israel stood before God at Mount Sinai and said, everything you tell us to do, we will do. Well, they clearly did not keep that commitment. In fact, they made that commitment before they even knew what God was going to tell them to do. That's, I think, really where Kol Nidre came from. You know, because we have that. But Yeshua, our Messiah, who by his heritage also stood before that mountain and made that commitment, because that's one of the things that rabbis will tell you, is all of us made that commitment before God. All of us who are Jews made that commitment before God at Mount Sinai. Well, Yeshua, also of Israel, he did keep that commitment. He did keep that commitment. He kept the commitment that they couldn't keep, that we couldn't keep. He made that commitment. He kept it. That, when that came across to me, I was just like, wow. Not only, I mean, we understand, he fulfilled the law and the prophets. We say that all the time. But not only that, he kept the vow that all Israel needed Mount Sinai. And because of that, we have life, we have salvation, and that has gone out to all nations. So we're going to go through this prayer so you hear it, and then we'll move on to some of the other lessons. All vows, renunciations, bans, oaths, formulas of obligation, pledges and promises that we vow or promise to ourselves and to God from this Yom Kippur to the next, may it approach us. For good, we hereby retract. May they all be undone, repealed, canceled, voided, annulled, and regarded as neither valid nor binding. Our vows shall not be considered vows. Our renunciations shall not be considered renunciations, and our promises shall not be considered promises. The entire congregation of the Israel shall be forgiven, as well as the stranger who dwells among them, for all have erred. As benefits, your abundant love, it's not up there. That's what I had before. As benefits your abundant love, please forgive this people's sin, just as you have always forgiven this people's from the time of the Exodus from Egypt until now. And there it goes on to say that the Lord replied, I have forgiven, as you have asked. Baruch atah Adonai, our God, ruler of time and space, thank you for granting us life, for sustaining us, and for bringing us to this moment, as we just prayed a few minutes ago. So that's the Kol Nidre, and the reasoning, as I see it behind it, is the understanding that we cannot keep those vows, and we need God to forgive us every year. You know, that's a little different. I mean, we talk about the new year, the secular new year, right? People make resolutions. How do you keep those? Exactly. So, back, you know, you might keep one or two every now and then, but for the most part, we don't. So going on, we have a prayer of confession that I'd like you to join with me and read. What can I have up here? If you can read it. For the sin we have committed against you willingly or under compulsion, and for the sin we have committed against you by the hardening of our hearts. For the sin we have committed against you by acting without thinking. And for the sin that we have committed against you by speaking perversely. For the sin we have committed against you through sexual impurity. And for the sin we have committed against you secretly and openly. For the sin we have committed against you knowingly and deceitfully. And for the sin we have committed against you by offensive speech. For the sin we have committed against you by wronging our neighbor. And for the sin we have committed against you by sinful meditation of the heart. For the sin we have committed against you by lewd association, and for the sin that we have committed against you by insincere confession. For the sin we have committed against you by spurning parents and teachers, and for the sin we have committed against you in presumption and error. For the sin we have committed against you by violence, and for the sin we have committed against you by profaning your name. For the sin we have committed against you by unclean speech, and for the sin we have committed against you by foolish talk. For the sin we have committed against you through the evil inclination, and for the sin we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly. For the sin we have committed against you by denying and lying and bribery, by sin by scoffing and by slander, sin in business dealings and in eating and drinking, sin by demanding usurious interest and by arrogance and pride. For the sin we committed against you by speaking gossip and by wanton glances. Sin we have committed against you by haughty eyes and for the sin of insolence. For the sin we have committed against you by rejecting responsibility. And for the sin we have committed against you by contentiousness. You know you have this many sins. It's neat when you spell them out, isn't it? Think about it for a second. This is what the high priest was doing over that scapegoat. All of these sins. For the sin we have committed against you by ensnaring our neighbor, and for the sin we have committed against you by envy, for the sin we have committed against you by levity, and for the sin we have committed against you by being stiff-necked, For the sin we have committed against you by running to do evil, and for the sin we have committed against you by talebearing, for the sin we have committed against you by vain oaths, and for the sin we have committed against you by hatred without cause, for the sin we have committed against you by breach of trust, and for the sin we have committed against you with confusion of the mind. For all these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name. We also have a traditional prayer that is also sung at this time, but we're not going to sing it this morning, but we are going to recite it, go through it. Avinu Malchinu. Our Father, our King, we have sinned before you. Our Father, our King, we have no king other than you. Our Father, our King, deal kindly with us for your name's sake. Our Father, our King, thwart the counsels of our enemies. Our Father, our King, seal the mouths of our adversaries. Our Father, our King, forgive and pardon all our iniquities through Messiah Yeshua. Our Father, our King, wipe away and remove our willful and inadvertent sins from your sight. Our Father, our King, erase through your abundant compassion all records of our guilt. Our Father, our King, return us to you in perfect repentance. Our Father, our King, send complete recovery to the sick of your people. Our Father, our King, inscribe us in the book of life. Our Father, our King, inscribe us in the book of redemption and salvation. Our Father, our King, our storehouse, fill our storehouses, I should say, with your abundance. Our Father, our King, open the gates of heaven to our prayer. Our Father, our King, remember that we are but dust. Our Father, our King, take pity upon us and our children. Our Father, our King, act for the sake of your great and mighty awesome name that is proclaimed upon us. Our Father, our King, do not withhold your mercy from us. May your kindness and your truth always protect us. And Father, as we have declared these sins, Lord, that we have committed throughout this year, that we bring them before you, and Lord, we confess them to you. We acknowledge that we have done many of these sins, if not all of these sins, at some point throughout the last year. And Lord, we are not proud of that. We come before you in repentance. We come before you full of shame, Lord, that we committed these sins. And yet, Lord, we know that every sin that we have confessed to you, that it has been removed. You have forgiven us as believers. And right now, as we bring it to you and as we have confessed it to you, we thank you for the sacrifice and the atoning work of Yeshua, our Messiah, who took all of these sins upon himself and bore them to the cross. He took them upon himself, and he has removed that sin through his sacrifice, through his atonement. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west, which never meet, they never touch. So, Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you that we stand righteous before you right now. And, Lord, that our Messiah, Yeshua, has fulfilled all of the task and all of the work that is necessary to redeem us and to make us right with you. So, Lord, we are so grateful to you for everything you have done. But Lord, I thank you for this time that we can remember that we have sinned, that we are desperately in need of your atonement every day, Lord. And it says you ever live to make intercession for us. So Father, we thank you that you didn't let us continue in that state of sin, in the garden where they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Lord, you removed us so we wouldn't be eternally in the state of separation from you. Because, Lord, that would be worse than dying, is to be eternally separated from you. You made it possible that we can be eternally with you and have your life and enjoy your presence for all eternity. And we rejoice in that this morning. So, Lord, as we spend this time worshiping you through this time of music and singing, Lord, we ask that you will impress upon our hearts just the immeasurable gift that we have in your atonement. It's not something we could ever quantify or measure. It's beyond our understanding. But we are so grateful for it, and we receive it, and we enter into that joy of knowing you this morning. At the same time, Lord, we continue in an attitude of repentance before you. And we are so grateful and thankful to everything, for everything you have done. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's have the worship team come forth.
Shalom, good morning. You're visiting with us this morning. I'm loving you in Yeshua's name. Thank you for worshiping us. Today is a hard day to worship because it is a serious day, it's a somber day, but it's also a joyous day. That, like Pastor Sam said, our names are in the book of life. We don't have to attempt to get our names there by hoping our good deeds out there are bad, which is kind of futility. But we serve a holy and just God. So let's raise our praise and our worship to Him and thank Him for His gift of salvation. That we have that joy. fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well.
Focused on ourselves and what God is doing for us, and whether we feel good or whether all of those things. And, you know, God, the Lord will take care of that for us. We're his children. You know, my kids don't have to worry that they're going to have a home if I'm going to provide for them or not. We're going to provide for them. They don't worry about that usually. But what about the people who aren't part of the family yet? God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked. We know that judgment is coming. We know that the consequences of sin in and of themselves are judgment. In fact, it says that he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But it goes on to say that those who accept him, paraphrasing, that those who accept him are not condemned, but those who don't accept him are condemned already because of their unbelief. And that's what brings that judgment. See, a lot of things happening in the world today, and you know what? It is only by the grace, I wouldn't even say the grace of God, actually. We say that. Yeah, his unmerited favor is there in spite of the disaster. His unmerited favor is there for believers in Houston and Puerto Rico. His grace is still there. So it's not only by the grace of God that we're not experiencing that. We deserve it as much as they do. It just happens to be that we live in Northern California and not one of those places. There's believers there who are undergoing a really difficult time, and we need to be lifting them up. But there's unbelievers there who have no hope aside from what they can get in this world. And this is a time for us, I believe, to mourn and weep over those who don't know the Lord and say, Lord, bring them to you. Open their eyes. Give us opportunities to share this joy and this faith. We're not weeping over ourselves because we know he has forgiven us and we have the righteousness. But for those that don't know that, we need to have the heart that he has for this world and for his people. So as we continue, and we're going to come to it, actually we start now with praying and seeking the Lord, come up here to the altar, kneel at your seat, whatever. But let's cry out to God this morning. Cry out for mercy. Let's cry out for mercy for our country. Because, you know, every time something like this happens, people are dying. And some of them don't know the Lord. I don't know who does and who doesn't. But there are people going into eternity without Yeshua every day. There are people going into eternity without Yeshua. So let's be crying out for God's mercy for this country, for Israel, and you know what? For the whole world, because God cares just as much about China and North Korea as he does about us. He loves those people just as much as he loves us. This nation, aside from its founding and that it was founded on Christian principles and Jewish principles, actually, founded on the Word of God, is not more special than all the other nations. In fact, we haven't even been around as long as most of the nations. God has a heart for every nation and every people and every tongue. And the ones that cry out to him and repent are the ones that receive that blessing. And I don't see that in the church today, in this nation. So, Father, this morning, together, we first of all ask for forgiveness for our sin, our individual sin, our attitudes, our pride, our arrogance, our anger, our lust, the things, Lord, that on a daily basis distract us from you. Instead of walking in your spirit, we walk in these things. And Lord, I ask that you will forgive us this morning and cleanse us by the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. Help us to walk in that new life and walk by the power of the Holy Spirit as you have given that to us. You've offered that to us. That is free to us every day that we can walk in your spirit. So Lord, forgive us. And also, Lord, we pray that you will have mercy. Mercy, first of all, on your people Israel, Lord. Mercy on the nation of Israel. Lord, it is such a small nation. We know that physically it could be attacked at any moment. And many, many people could lose their lives. So, Father, we pray that you will have mercy upon them, not just physically, but spiritually, Lord. That you will open their eyes to the truth of your word. Open their eyes to who the Messiah is. Lord, that we will see them turn back to you. Lord, we know that is your heart. That is your desire, to reveal yourself to your people. It is prophesied that you will do that. But Lord, we also lift up all the nations. Lord, every nation, every continent on this earth. Many, many disasters and struggles and trials and attacks and wars and rumors of wars. And Lord, there's so many things happening in this world today. It happens so quickly sometimes that it's hard for us to even, if we thought about it, we would be fearful all the time, worried all the time. If we gave to every disaster, we would have nothing. Because there's so much happening, Lord. And yet, Lord, you love these people just as much as you love us. And so, Father, I ask right now that you will have mercy on us. You will have mercy on this nation. Lord, it doesn't matter where our politics are, but Lord, because that is irrelevant for all eternity. That is not relevant. What matters is, are we humble before you? Are we seeking your face? Are we obeying you as believers? And Lord, in this nation, we know there are many that are doing the exact opposite. But Lord, we pray that you will have mercy, that you will not give us what we deserve, but that many more will come to know you. And Lord, have mercy on this world. Father, we ask that even though we desire your coming, we want to see you, we want to see your return. Lord, we know that you delay your coming, as it says in Scripture, so that more will come to you. So help us to be doing the work you have called us to do as believers, sharing our faith, sharing the faith that you have given us, sharing the gospel, the good news, with our friends, our neighbors, our family, our co-workers, and even our enemies, Lord, that we will share it out of love, because you call us to love, because you have loved us, and you have demonstrated that love by giving yourself for us. So, Lord, have mercy upon us today for not witnessing and not sharing our faith, by being too proud or too scared or whatever it is that is keeping us from doing that. We humble ourselves before you this morning. And, Lord, as we sing the rest of these songs, I pray that you will work in our hearts, that you will use your word to divide in our hearts what is good and what is not good. And what is not good, that we will be willing to let go and give to you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
grace.